gets reduced to a soggy pile of slush. Obi-Wan closed his eyes. Dimly, he could feel his own disgust echoing in Anakin as the rodent's hideous death throes reverberated through the Force. General Locke Dird was clapping his hands in delight.
"Oh, how wonderful! How wonderful! My dear Dr. Fernan, it's true! You are a genius!"
The scientist fell to her hands and knees and vomited bile onto the laboratory floor.
"I knew it," said Dird, ignoring her, pacing again as though his excitement were too great to be contained. "I knew that Rondium would do the trick."
He whirled.
"Naughty, naughty, Dr. Fernan. You tried to dissuade me. You tried to tell me Rondium would have no effect on the Damotite. I think you were playing a game with me, my dear."
Still on her hands and knees, Dr. Fernan smeared a sleeve across her mouth. She didn't look up.
"Is that so, Dr. Fernan?" Dird demanded. "Is that so?"
Suddenly angry, pouncing on the woman, he hauled her roughly to her feet, fisted his pudgy fingers in the lapels of her lab coat, and violently twisted.
"Were you playing a game with me? Were you lying to me? Were you by any chance trying to ruin my plans? See me disgraced again before Count Dooku?"
Dr. Fernan stood handspans shorter than the looming Nymoidian. Her breath strangled, she made no attempt to prise herself free of his clutching fingers.
"No, General," she croaked. "I would never do that. Why would I lie to you when I know what will happen?"
Dird thrust his moist, flat face into hers.
"Perhaps you lied when you said you care. Perhaps their lives mean nothing to you."
"No, I care."
The woman's words were a broken whisper.
"I didn't lie, General. I have never lied to you. But I was wrong. I was mistaken, and I'm so very, very sorry. I should have known you were right about the Rondium. I thought it wouldn't be stable enough. I thought I knew better than you."
"But you didn't, did you?" Dird spat. "The great Dr. Bantina Fernan, with degrees from the three most distinguished universities in the Republic. You didn't know better than General Locke Dird."
Worked into a passion now, the Nymoidian was dangerously close to losing control. Dr. Fernan's sallow face was dusky crimson, the air whistling in her throat.
"Obi-Wan," hissed Anakin, "he's going to kill her. Come on, we can't sit here and watch."
He shook his head, vehement. Yes, they could stop Dird's brutal assault, but only at the risk of betraying their presence and placing the entire mission in jeopardy. It was the scientist's life, or the lives of millions.
"No, Anakin," he hissed back. "Wait. Wait."
"Do I need you?" Dird was ranting. "Do I need you, my dear doctor? Do I? Do I?"
"Yes,"
the woman croaked, desperate.
"The refined formula's encrypted, and I'm the only one with the key."
Panting, Dird threw her to the floor.
"Is that so? And were you by any chance thinking to keep that key to yourself, my dear? To alter our arrangement? Were you by any chance thinking to hold me hostage for a while?"
Dr. Fernan groped her unsteady way back onto her feet, fear stark in her blanched face.
"No."
"No?"
Lurching to the cluttered lab bench, Dird snatched up the mini holoprojector. He turned and brandished it in front of her.
"Are you sure? Are you quite sure? Because if you're lying now, Doctor, if you're lying to me..."
She dropped to her knees.
"I'm not lying, General, I swear it. I'll give you the formula. I'll show you how to make it. I'll show anyone you like, or I'll make it myself as much as you want. I'll do anything you ask of me. Just don't hurt them. Please."
Dird hurled the projector. It struck the doctor on the forehead, opening up a deep cut, then clattered to the floor. Blood sprang free of her body, pumped by her frantic heart. It slicked her open eyes, her hollowed cheeks, her parted lips.
"Please," she whispered, tears muddling with blood. "I am begging you. Please, General Dird, have mercy."
The Nymoidian's desire to hurt her shuddered him head to toe. His lips peeled back, and his fists came up, desperate to strike.
"Do not test me again," he snarled, reddish-orange eyes glowing. "Do not be so foolish, my dear. Decrypt the formula now. Make me a data crystal copy. I wish to inform Count Dooku of my success."
Shaking, the scientist did as she was told, gave the data crystal to her tormentor, and stepped back out of his reach. Dird tucked the formula into a pocket.
"Very wise, my dear," he said softly, his voice ripe with menace. "I'll spare your loved ones this time. But defy me again, and there will be a consequence."
In a swirl of lush robes, he stalked out of the lab. Dr. Bant Ina Fernan stared after him, then covered her face with her hands and wept. Every feeling conquered, Obi-Wan looked at Anakin. "Now," he said quietly. They kicked the grills off the vent and launched themselves into the room below. Chapter 15. Stunned, breathless, Bantina stared at the two ragged men standing in front of her, who'd appeared, it seemed, out of nowhere, like magic, which was entirely impossible. So was this all a dream, then? Had she dreamed that moment when theory became fact and her reworked formula proved itself stable? Dreamed poisoning the Lantiban rat? Was the pain in her throat where Dird had almost throttled her, was all of it, a figment of her tormented imagination? Perhaps it was, because this couldn't be happening. "Dr. Fernan, I know this is a shock, but you must pull yourself together and listen to me," said the older of the two men. His short hair and well-trimmed beard were clotted with dirt. Soot or charcoal smeared his face, his hands, and plastered the fabric of his plain working clothes. He looked like a laborer on the run, and sounded like one of her biology professors. "Doctor, please. We might not have much time. Is this facility monitored? Are there security recording devices in your laboratory?" She nodded, mute, glanced at the man's younger, taller companion. He looked just as disreputable, but his eyes were unexpectedly kind. "Are the recordings themselves monitored?" the older man demanded. His eyes weren't unkind, just terribly intense. "We passed a comm center on our way here. Is that the only monitoring station for this facility?" Another mute nod. She wondered when she was going to wake up. "Good. And the recordings, Doctor, are they assessed in real time or are they checked later on some kind of roster?" With an effort, she moistened her lips. "I might as well say something. It's a dream, after all, and Dird can't punish me for what I say in my sleep." "I don't know." Her voice came out scratchy, uncertain. "I don't think it's in real time." The bearded man's brows pinched in a frown. "You don't think so? Doctor, I'm sorry, but I need more assurance than that." Shaking, she pressed her hands to her face. I'm not... She let her hands fall. "Am I asleep or aren't I?" "You're awake," said the younger man. "Don't be frightened. We're here to help you."
"Help me?"
She tried to laugh, but it sounded like a sob. Turning away, she looked at the wall where the air vent's grills had been kicked out.
"If you were up there watching, then you saw what I did."
On a deep, painful breath, she made herself face the specimen cage and the appalling thing in it.
"What I am, you know as well as I do. There's no helping me."
The younger man took a step toward her. "Dird is a monster." His voice was low and shaky. "None of this is your fault." The older man started to say something, but his young companion raised a sharp hand. Hope was a dangerous shudder inside her.
"You can help me?"
"Not if we're discovered," said the older man. "Doctor, are you and Dird the only residents here?"
"At the moment," she said, dazed. "If you don't count the droids, a new military liaison officer arrives in the morning. I'm sorry, but who are you?"
"Friends," said the younger man, "who need your help if we're going to get out of here in one piece. his companion added, his voice snapping with authority. So pay attention. She jumped. This was no ordinary downtrodden Lantiban. Her fuddled mind cleared a little, and she looked at him more closely. Beneath all that dirt, was there something familiar about him? She didn't know him, had never met him, and yet she had the strangest feeling she'd seen him before. Had seen both of them, and not so long ago. Memory stirred, reality shifted, and she wasn't in this terrible place. She was at home, on Corellia, cooking dinner and catching up with the Holonet news.
"Sweetness and light," she whispered. "Are you... you're Kenobi?"
She turned.
"And you're Anakin Skywalker. You're Jedi."
Anakin Skywalker, hero of the Republic, pulled a face. "Okay, so now we really have to take care of the security recordings." Kenobi nodded. "Agreed. Dr. Fannin..."
She couldn't believe it. The Jedi had come to rescue her. They'd saved her family, her friends. The nightmare was over and everything was going to be all right. "Doctor!" I'm sorry, what?"
"Obi-Wan," said Anakin, "take it easy. She's doing her best." Obi-Wan Kenobi, the other hero of the Republic, flicked his friend a warning look. "We've no time for easy, Doctor. Is there somewhere safe we can retreat to for a short while? Somewhere dirt or those patrolling droids aren't likely to find us?" With an effort, she gathered her scattered wits. Kenobi was right, and she was carrying on like a silly teenager instead of a trained scientist.
"I have rooms here. No one ever disturbs me, but they're monitored."
"That won't be a problem. Anakin, go with Dr. Fannin. Lay low. I'll deal with the security recordings and find you afterward."
"Okay," said Anakin.
"Need a hand tidying up?" Shockingly, she caught a flash of wry, dry humor in Kenobi's intense blue eyes. "If it's not too much trouble." Anakin's face lit in a cheeky smile. "Of course it is. But for you, I'll make an exception." Bemused, Bantina watched Kenobi line himself up with the nearest open wall vent high under the ceiling, gasped when he leapt to it easily, and maneuvered himself inside the cramped space. After a few moments, his face appeared. "All right." Anakin tossed Kenobi the kicked-out grill, and he tugged it back into position. Soon after, he appeared in the other open vent. When that grill was replaced too, the younger Jedi turned to her.
"Let's go."
Her life was ridiculous. When had that happened? How had that happened? Murder and kidnap and blackmail? And now Jedi? "Dr. Fannin," said Anakin impatiently, sounding uncannily like Kenobi, "we have to go."
"What? Oh, yes, only... Wait.
She crossed to the lab bench and started scrabbling through its scattered mess.
"A few things," she muttered. "I just need a few things."
"Data crystals, notes." She grabbed her satchel from the floor beneath the bench and shoved everything into it, then looked at the young Jedi.
"All right, we... No, wait."
The holoprojector, she couldn't leave without the...
Where was it?
"Looking for this?" Turning, she saw that Anakin was holding the projector.
"Where did you... How did you..."
He was giving her the oddest look. "Doctor, that slime dirt threw it at you. Don't you remember?"
"What?"
Her fingers strayed to her forehead and touched the wound there. Her drying blood drew her attention to the dull, throbbing pain.
Of course she remembered. "Oh, he must think I'm deranged."
She held out her hand.
"Yes, thank you."
Anakin gave her the holoprojector. "Doctor, please, we really have to..."
"I know," she said, shoving it into her satchel. "I'm ready."
He nodded, so reassuring, then crossed to the closed lab door, rested his palm against it, fingers splayed, and let his eyelids lower. "Dird," he murmured. "He doesn't live in this building, right?"
"That's right. He has a private suite elsewhere in the compound. He says he can't sleep with the stink of human in his nostrils."
"And the rest of us won't sleep while he's breathing free air." Anakin's face twisted. "Or at all." There was something in the way he said it, the way he'd called the Nymoidian a monster.
"You know General Dird."
"Yeah, we've met." He dropped his hand from the door. Okay, I think the coast is clear. Shaken, she stared at him.
You think? Don't you...
Sorry, we can't sense droids. He gave her that charming, cheeky smile again. But I've got very good hearing. Let's go. They slipped out of the lab and down the long, empty hallway to her room, her prison cell, which had been two adjoining offices before the Separatists took over. A dividing wall had been ripped out, and the resulting space turned into a cramped, basic apartment that held a curtained-off bed, a tiny refresher, some shelves, and a makeshift kitchen. The leftover space had been turned into a living room, someone's crude attempt at interior decorating.
"Please,"
she said, closing the door, then gesturing at the scattering of furniture, a sofa, a chair, a rickety table.
"Make yourself comfortable. Can I offer you something to eat or drink?"
And then she felt foolish. This wasn't a social occasion. Their lives were in deadly peril. If Anakin's Jedi friend Kenobi somehow got himself caught...
"Idiot. Don't even think it. He won't get caught. They don't call him a hero of the Republic for nothing."
Anakin was looking relieved. "Water would be greatly appreciated, thank you. Food, too, but I'll wait for Obi-Wan to come back before I eat." She crossed to the small kitchen table, put down the precious holoprojector, then nodded at the commercial-sized conservator her keepers had so kindly given her.
"It's entirely up to you. The water's in there. Help yourself to as much as you'd like."
He drank three full bottles, hardly taking a breath. Noticing her surprise, he shrugged.
"Sorry, my manners aren't usually that bad. It's just... it's been a long, hard day." "I can tell,"
she said, disposing of the emptied bottles down her makeshift kitchen's waste chute.
"You should sit down. If you don't mind me saying so, you look tired."
He considered his filthy clothes.
"Are you sure? I don't want to dirty the furniture." "Why should I care?"
she said, shrugging.
"It's not my furniture. By all means, feel free to ruin it. Who knows? I might even help."
He almost laughed. "Yeah, okay, in a minute. But first, do you have a med kit?"
"Why? Are you hurt?"
she said anxiously.
"Where? How badly? Yes, I've got a med kit. I'll go and..."
"Dr. Farinan, I'm fine." His expression was a mingling of caution and pity.
"You're the one who's hurt."
For a moment, she couldn't think what he meant. And then she remembered again, being struck by the holoprojector, Dird in a temper tantrum. Now, there was a surprise.
"Oh, that's right."
There was still dried blood on her fingers and a dull, throbbing pain in her head.
"I'm sorry. I'm not normally this stupid. I just..."
And then she felt her face crumple and heard herself sob. Her knees buckled and she began to sink toward the floor.
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry,"
she choked.
"Don't mind me. I'm fine."
He caught her before she tumbled completely, lifted her without effort, and carried her to the sofa. Boneless and unprotesting, she let him. Let her face turn to his roughly shirted, dirty chest and howled her rage and shame against him. Dimly, she felt his hand warm and comforting on her back and heard his soft voice saying over and over,
"It's all right. It's all right. You're safe now. It's all right."
The crazy thing was that she did feel safe. For the first time since those Separatist blaster bolts seared the air and sand of Nirektavi Bay, since she saw her friends and colleagues slaughtered, she felt safe. Then, abruptly, she felt mortified. What was she doing? Weeping like a child all over a man young enough to be her son. Where was her pride? She shifted away from him, unable to meet his eyes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... I'm sorry."
"Don't apologize," he said gently. "You've got a right to be upset. Now, where's the med kit?"
"In the refresher," she pointed. "Through there, top shelf above the sink. But please, don't bother. It's nothing. I can..."
Standing, he frowned down at her. "It's not nothing. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back." Even if she'd wanted to, she didn't think she could move. Hope had vanished, leaving despair in its wake, leaving her empty of everything save pain. Her eyes felt scrubbed raw. "Right," said Anakin, returning with the medkit. "Here we go, and I'll say sorry in advance because I'm probably going to hurt you." Again, that extraordinary sense of being small, a child, as he carefully wiped the blood and tears from her face, cleaned the bruised, throbbing cut on her forehead with antiseptic, and lightly pressed a Steriseal over it.
"You're very good at this," she murmured.
His face shadowed. "I've had a lot of practice." "Of course, the war."
"Do you mind? Can I ask, is the Republic really losing to the Separatists? Dird says we are, but I don't want to believe him."
He glanced at her, something fierce flickering deep in his eyes. "No, don't believe him."
"So that means we're winning?"
He swept the Steriseal wrapper and used antiseptic wipes into one hand. Didn't answer.
"You mean we're not winning?"
A sigh. "It's complicated, Doctor.
Please."
Wanting to touch his arm, instead she folded her hands in her lap.
"Call me Bantina."
"It's complicated, Bantina."
"But you can trust we're doing everything in our power to defeat Dooku and his Separatists." She watched him dump the medical rubbish into the waste chute, wash his hands, then fetch a bottle of water from the conservator and remove its lid. Returning to her, he held out the water and a couple of pain tabs from the med kit. "Here, you'll feel better for these." Taking them, she looked up at him and shook her head, even though it still ached.
"It's odd. You're nothing like I expected."
"Why?" he said, perching on the edge of the nearby chair. "What did you expect?"
"I don't know," she said, floundering. "I can't say I've ever given the Jedi much thought. I mean, not as individuals. I've never expected to meet one, let alone two. I don't tend to go places where your skills are needed. But, well, you're gentle."
That made him smile. "As opposed to what?" She swallowed the pain tabs, washing them down with a mouthful of water.
"Oh, you know, the Holonet News, it portrays you as this heroic warrior, larger than life, charging into battle, lightsaber flashing, scourge of the Separatists, that kind of thing."
She shrugged.
"And yet, here you are, and you're so young and kind, and..."
She put down the water bottle.
"And you... Oh, this sounds stupid."
"No," he said. "Tell me." Feeling her face heat, she stared at her knees.
"I feel like you understand what it's like to be scared and helpless. At the mercy of someone else. Someone wicked. Which is, of course, ridiculous because you're a Jedi."
Silence. And then Anakin sighed.
"I do understand, Bantina. I wasn't always a Jedi."
She looked up, ready to ask him what and when and how. But something in his eyes killed the questions unspoken. Instead, she glanced at her wrist chrono, stared at the closed door.
"Is he taking a long time?"
she said.
"Master Kenobi, I mean. That is the correct honorific, yes?"
"Yes," said Anakin, pushing to his feet. He started to pace, then stopped himself, folded his arms, and frowned at the boarded-up square that had been a window. "Don't worry, he'll be here. He's very good at what he does." He sounded calm, confident, but she'd always been skilled in reading people, whether they wanted to be read or not. He was soothing his own nerves as well as hers. She pretended she hadn't noticed.
"And he'll find us all right? I didn't tell him where to come."
"You didn't need to," said Anakin with a small smile. "He'll find us."
"So, we wait?"
"Yes, we wait."
"Then I think if you don't mind me leaving you, I'm going to clean up a bit,"
she said, standing.
"Shower, change my clothes."
"What?" Anakin stared at her.
"Of course, Bantina. You don't need my permission. This is your place. I'm the visitor here." He was a Jedi. Surely he couldn't be so naive. "And what if I'm lying to you, Master Skywalker? What if I'm intending to raise the alarm? For all you know, I've got a direct comm link to General Dird hidden in my bedroom or the refresher, and I'm about to call him and tell him you're here. Trade you and Master Kenobi to him in return for something I want. My freedom, perhaps."
Anakin shook his head.
"You won't do that." "How do you know?"
She felt her lips tremble and breathed hard until they firmed again.
You saw what I did to that lab rodent. You know what I've created for Dird, and you have to suspect what he intends to do with it. Obviously, if I'm capable of that, then I'm capable of anything. Even the betrayal of two Republic heroes.
Anakin's boyish face hardened, aging him. We'll talk about Dird and what you've done for him when Obi-Wan gets here. And I know you won't betray us, because I'm a Jedi. Her eyes filled with tears.
And how do I know you won't betray me? I can explain why I've done what I've done, but you might not accept my reasons. You might tell me you'll get me to safety so I'll cooperate and then hand me over to the authorities as soon as we're back on Coruscant.
No, Bantina, he said quietly. I won't do that.
Yes, of course you say you won't, but how do I know?
He stood a little straighter and met her desperate gaze without guile. Because I'm a Jedi. He made it sound so simple. Could anything in the universe be that simple? How she wanted it to be true. She wanted to trust him. Could she trust him?
As if I have a choice now.
If I was going to scream, I should have screamed back in the lab. Even if I did call Dird from the Fresher, he'd never believe that the Jedi and I aren't in collusion.
Thank you, she said, subdued. And for what it's worth, you're right. I've no intention of contacting General Dird. Help yourself to more water if you're still thirsty. Help yourself to anything. I won't be long.
And she didn't intend to be, only once she stepped into the real water shower, her sole luxury in this hideous place, once its soothing heat was beating down on her, she didn't want to get out. Sore head resting against the poor quality prefabbed shower stall, she wept again and tried to pretend the tears were plain water on her face.
Don't cry. Don't cry. There's a Jedi on the other side of the door. He's come to save you. This will end soon.
Eventually, the water started to run cool, so she turned off the taps. Drying herself with an inadequate towel, she dressed in clean underclothes and a new shirt and trousers, and bundled the lab coat and clothes she'd been wearing for the disposal chute. Her blood was on them, and they smelled like death. When she returned to the living area, she found Obi-Wan Kenobi pouring a bottle of water down his throat. An empty bottle stood on the table beside him. Seeing her, he stopped drinking, put down the half-consumed bottle, and considered her, his face grave. Doctor?
Master Kenobi?
She crossed to the disposal chute and got rid of her clothes.
Were you able to, how do you phrase it,
accomplish your mission? He wasn't warm like Anakin. There was a cool, guarded watchfulness to him, though he was impeccably polite. Yes, the security records will no longer be a problem. Which meant, for tonight at least, for a few precious hours, for the first time in such a long time, she'd finally have some privacy. Although after her initial distaste, realizing Dird could see and hear everything she did, she'd stopped caring. After all, what was there to see? Dird had made it plain he found humans repellent. It was unlikely he'd be obsessed with watching her undress or shower.
On the other hand, I'll bet he loves to watch me weep.
Bantina? Said Anakin. She shook her head.
I'm fine.
Good, said Kenobi.
Master Kenobi.
Doctor,
you should eat, she said. You've time. I meant what I said before. They never disturb me in here.
Kenobi exchanged a look with Anakin, then nodded. Very well. Thank you.
It's no trouble. It's not like I'll be cooking for you. My meals are delivered in bulk in heat packs.
The table had only one chair, so she nodded at the sofa.
Please, have a seat.
As the Jedi sat on her ugly, lopsided sofa, she took four heat pack meals out of the conservator and handed them two each.
You look hungry,
she said when they stared at her, surprised.
What about you?
Said Anakin, activating the first pack without bothering to read its label. You should eat something. The confines of her skull echoed with shrill rodent screaming.
Maybe later. I had a big lunch.
He wasn't fooled.
Bantina, I said no.
They needed cutlery. She fetched her one spoon and her one fork and handed them over.
Thank you,
Anakin said quietly. Kenobi just nodded. Retreating, She dropped into the lone chair at the table and looked at the floor in silence while the two Jedi ate. She didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable. Her future did depend on them, after all, and she'd grown adept at appeasing whoever held her in their power. It didn't take them long to finish both meals. They must have been ravenous. She stood.
More? I won't miss them, and the droids don't actually count how many I eat.
No, thank you, said Kenobi. Taking Anakin's emptied packs, holding them with his own, he started to rise.
I'll do that, she said.
She took the cartons from him and shoved them down the disposal chute. Then, turning back, she rubbed her palms down the sides of her legs, feeling the trembling deep in her muscles.
So, Master Kenobi, how did you find me? I'd given up hope of word getting out of Teratos 4. Was it one of the others? Did someone manage to escape and raise the alarm?
The Jedi exchanged cautious looks. Others? Said Kenobi. What others, Doctor?
The other scientists who were taken with me, from the research enclave at Niriktavi Bay. That's where my team and I were working when the Separatists attacked us. Did one of them...
They were staring at her blankly, interested, but uninformed. She felt something twist in her guts, a sharp pain, a shattered hope. She had to wait a moment before she could speak again.
It wasn't the other scientists, was it? You're not here for me at all. You found me by mistake.
Not mistake, Kenobi said quickly. Accident. And was that supposed to make a difference?
I see.
I'm sorry, said Anakin, that we couldn't save Teratos 4, or the people you lost in the attack. Or you.
Did you even try?
There was another exchange of looks. More silence. No, Kenobi said at last. The taking of Teratos 4 was part of a larger Separatist push. We weren't able to defend every threatened planet. Oh, the broken places inside her.
In other words, there wasn't anything worth saving there.
Just Niriktavi Bay with its corals and its sea life and her team, her Raxel, and the laughing games of tag on the beach as the sun set.
I told you, Bantina, said Anakin.
There was pain in his voice.
It's complicated.
She sat down again.
I understand. This is war. You have to look at the big picture. You can't afford to see the little people.
Scurrying like rodents, sacrificed for the greater good.
That's not true, Anakin protested. That's what the big picture is. Lots and lots and lots of little people. You matter, Bantina. The friends you lost on Teratos 4, they matter. We're fighting this war so no more like them will die.
He was very sweet, very young, full of grand ideals and breathtaking intuitive compassion. She looked at Master Kenobi. Now there was a pragmatist, a man possessed of a scientist's soul.
Tell me, she said, holding his gaze steadily. If you didn't come here for me, then why did you come?
I'm not sure that's relevant, Kenobi said. We're here and you're here, developing a bioweapon for General Locke Dird and Count Dooku. Yet another silence followed, chilly this time, as all three of them silently relived the lab rodent's monstrous death. She wanted to rage at them, to stamp her feet and shout,
Don't you judge me for that! Don't you dare! Do you even know how much you've profited from the taking of little rodent lives? Since you were watching, she said at last, and listening, you know perfectly well that what I'm doing here, I'm doing under duress.
Kenobi frowned. And yet you took pride in what you've accomplished.
He'd seen that small, unpretty moment?
She felt her cheeks heat.
A brief weakness, she said stiffly. Regrettable scientific ego, believe me, I'm not proud.
And yet, what's Dird's hold over you, Bantina? Anakin said, unapologetically cutting his companion short.
How exactly is he controlling you?
Turning, she pulled the holoprojector toward her, switched it on, and activated the holograph slideshow.
My mother, she said, staring at the flickering image.
After a few moments, the image shifted.
And that's my brother, and sister-in-law, and niece.
Shift.
My sister, my brother-in-law, and both of my nephews.
Shift.
My dear friend Dejoa.
Shift.
Sam.
Shift.
Lakti and Nevra.
The end. She deactivated the rolling display.
And probably, if they hadn't been killed when I was taken, my entire research team would be added to that list.
Master Kenobi nodded. I see. Are they all being held hostage like you?
In a manner of speaking, they're free, but under constant surveillance.
Dird promises they'll die if I refuse to cooperate. I have no reason to disbelieve him,
so you see, Master Kenobi, I'm in something of a bind. My mother...
Her breath caught.
My mother has a blaster pointed at her head.
If the notion appalled or alarmed him, he gave no sign. And so you made Dird that bioweapon. Her chin lifted.
Yes, I did.
And then she smiled, so very unamused.
You're thinking I should have refused to work for him, or better yet, taken my own life to make sure the good general and his precious count's nefarious plans were thwarted.
Neither was Master Kenobi amused. His blue eyes were cold and tension thrummed in every line of his wiry athlete's body. As a rule, as a Jedi, I would never advocate suicide.
But in this case you'd make an exception?
She laughed out loud, mocking.
You silly, stupid, arrogant man. Do you think I never considered it? Do you think I haven't tried already? Within hours of waking in this stinking, festering hole, do you think I didn't try? But I failed, Master Kenobi, and Dird beat me nearly unconscious. And then he swore that if I tried it again, my mother would die in screaming agony, and he would strap me to a chair with my eyelids taped open and make me watch a hollow recording of her death 100 times over. And if I tried and succeeded, they would all die in screaming agony.
The memory of Dird's fury, of the pain he'd inflicted, shuddered through her. She started to shake.
Perhaps you could do it, Master Kenobi,
she whispered.
I know little of the Jedi, and I don't know you at all. Perhaps you could take your own life knowing that those whom you loved best would be slowly tortured to death because of you. Perhaps, her voice broke, perhaps that's a fair price to pay to save millions of lives. I don't know. All I know is I don't have the strength to pay it.
Obi-Wan, said Anakin, as she and Kenobi stared at each other.
Obi-Wan, a word in private?
She stood.
I'll leave you to chat. Don't worry, I won't eavesdrop. I have a headset and some music. I won't hear a thing. Just let me know when you've decided what you're going to do.
As Bantina disappeared into her curtained-off bedroom, Anakin turned on Obi-Wan. Disbelieving anger made it hard to keep his voice down. Tell me you're not blaming her for this mess. Obi-Wan sighed.
Anakin, Dird's threatening her family, her friends, after murdering a bunch of other people she knew and cared about right in front of her.
Anakin, he leapt up, paced a few steps from the sofa, then swung around.
How can you blame her for cooperating? After what he threatened, after what the Seps have done here? Obi-Wan, we just spent hours breathing in the ashes of the dead. So how can you...
He dragged a hand down his face.
You think it's all a bluff? You think Dird won't make good on his threats?
Obi-Wan... He returned to the sofa and dropped to one knee beside it, his metal hand clenched to a fist inside its glove.
Hear me. Please hear me.
He will. You don't know him like I do. You weren't on Meriden. I didn't need to be, said Obi-Wan. I read your report.
My report?
He shoved to his feet and stared down at his willfully obtuse mentor, his friend, whom right now he could cheerfully shake into tiny pieces.
That's just a bunch of words, Obi-Wan. I was there. I felt him, in my mind, in my heart.
I know him. He's not bluffing. He'll do it. He'll kill everyone she loves. Obi-Wan sat back against the sofa, ran a hand over his beard. You'd do well to calm yourself, Anakin. Getting emotional doesn't help.
I'm sorry, but from where I'm standing, it seems like one of us needs to get emotional, he retorted. Because one of us doesn't seem to care about what's happening.
Oh, Anakin. Obi-Wan pressed his fingertips to his eyes, the way he did when he had a headache. Of course I care. And I know what Durd is. He's a cruel, rapacious creature entirely bereft of conscience. I also know that unlike him, Dr. Fernan isn't evil. At least, she doesn't seek death and destruction on a galaxy-wide scale. A little of his frustration subsided. Well then? Well then, so what? Said Obi-Wan, implacable. Talk is cheap, Anakin. She can protest Durd's villainy from sunup to sundown, but coerced or not, if she continues to assist him, so what? You heard her. To save 12 people, she's prepared to sacrifice millions, if not billions. Yet every being she'd sacrifice has a mother and a sister and a brother and friends. Why do their losses matter less than hers? I never said they did, he retorted. She never said they did, but Obi-Wan... Obi-Wan stood, rested a hand on his shoulder. Listen to me, Anakin. Forget whatever sympathy you might feel for this woman, and listen. Dr. Fernan has chosen to spare herself personal pain, knowing full well that her choice means genocide. His tired face tightened. Imagine that bioweapon loosed upon Coruscant, upon Alderaan or Corellia, upon every Republic world in the galaxy. Any world that refuses to submit to Dooku and his whims. Imagine hearing the death cries of millions roaring through the Force like thunder. Did Obi-Wan think he was stupid? That he didn't understand what was at stake here? Anakin shrugged away his friend's urgent hand. It would be terrible, I know. It's what we came here to stop. And yet there you stand, Anakin, hesitant to stop it. Oh, right. So you are saying she should let Durd kill everyone she loves? Certainly that would prevent an even greater tragedy, Obi-Wan said very quietly. Well, that's easy for you to say, isn't it? You don't have a family to lose. Don't I? That's different and you know it, he spat. The Jedi are a lot of things, but family's not one of them. Obi-Wan just looked at him. I see. Blast it. How had they ended up on angry opposite sides of this? No, wait, that's not what I meant. I know what you meant. As Obi-Wan turned away, Anakin grabbed his arm and pulled him back. I'm sorry, I wasn't saying... He let go. Look, I hear you, Obi-Wan. War is anguish and there are terrible choices. But we can't expect Bantina to make this choice. Obi-Wan's eyes were full of shadows again. Someone has to make it, Anakin. If not her, then who? That's a very good question, said Bantina behind them. I think I'd like to hear the answer. As one, he and Obi-Wan rounded on her. He felt oddly betrayed. You said you wouldn't eavesdrop. I didn't mean to, she said, shrugging. My music headset's faulty. The volume dropped and you were... heated. Obi-Wan stepped forward. Dr. Fernan, you know, she said, her chin tilted defiantly, there is one option you haven't mentioned. You and Anakin could kill me and destroy my work. I'm not strong enough to stop you, and that would certainly stop Durd. Just know that if you do, he'll assume I did it myself. My family and friends will die horrible deaths, and their innocent blood will stain your hands forever.
Chapter 16. Don't worry, Bantina, said Anakin, so reckless. That is not going to happen. Obi-Wan flicked him a hard, warning glance, but Anakin wouldn't look at him. His emotions were entirely engaged by this scientist, this woman who had permitted herself to be used by Durd and Dooku to create something almost inconceivably evil, with the potential to destroy the galaxy, then see it remade in the Sith's image. I can't allow that to happen. There is no price too high that we might pay. Anakin, wait, Anakin said, holding up both hands. Just wait. There has to be a way for us to destroy the bioweapon and keep Bantina's family and friends safe. With an effort, he kept his temper leashed. Anakin, I know you believe that,
But you of all people should know by now that wanting a thing does not mean getting a thing. It was unkind of him to say it, but he had no time for kindness. He needed to break Anakin's inconvenient bond with Dird's captive scientist before it tightened any further, before he completely lost sight of their goal, their duty. As Anakin stared at him, hurt, his anger stirring, Dr. Fernan stepped forward.
"Please, don't fight because of me. I've done enough damage as it is."
Oh, this woman, Bantina Fernan. Entirely unexpected, a hydro spanner in the works. But she's right about one thing. I could end this here and now. I could kill her where she stands. Without laying a finger on her, I could crush her throat or her skull or burst her heart and her chest. I could kill her 10 times over without breaking a sweat, and then I could kill Dird, and if I do that, I bring Dooku to his knees. Actions which would unleash a river of innocent blood.
"Obi-Wan," said Anakin. His voice was steady, but he was pleading. "We're not assassins. We're not murderers. There is a way out, we just haven't seen it yet. So let's find somewhere safe to hunker down and think this through, all right?"
"Anakin," he shook his head, "there's no time. By now Dird has surely transmitted the bioweapons formula to Count Dooku. For all we know, Dooku's given Dird orders to eliminate Dr. Fennin and the loved ones being used as leverage against her. The man is ruthless. He leaves nothing to chance. Forgive me, Doctor," he added, looking at her. "I realize such bluntness is painful, but..."
"Forget it," she said. "What matters is that you're wrong. I know Dird. He's political to the core, and he always takes care of himself first, last, and foremost. He might tell Dooku we're making progress, but he won't risk his valuable status by handing over my formula. He'll keep control of that for as long as he possibly can. And the only way harm can come to my family and friends is if he suspects my..."
She sneered. "Loyalty. Which is why I won't even consider messing with that bioweapon." She sounded cold, controlled, free of sorrow and regrets. But he'd long ago learned to see beneath people's masks, and what he saw in this flawed woman made him ache. Pride and passion, loneliness, a single-minded dedication to the pursuit of knowledge, no matter where it led, or who got hurt in that pursuit. The desire to do good, a need for recognition, her saving grace, a vast capacity to love.
"Doctor," he gentled his voice, "I am so very sorry about this."
"You're sorry?" She half laughed. "Oh, Master Kenobi, you've no idea what sorry is." He wasn't in the mood to contradict her. "Anakin is right. We're not assassins or murderers. But now that we know what Dird's planning, what will happen if that bioweapon is unleashed, our mission here is more vital than ever. We must succeed in thwarting him." She looked at him steadily, a mocking bitterness in her eyes.
"You do realize that your best course of action is for you to get off this misbegotten rock and send in every warship the Republic can lay its hands on to batter Lanteeb into rubble?"
"No," said Anakin sharply. "Wholesale slaughter is Dooku's way, not ours. Obi-Wan and I were sent in to deal with this quickly and quietly, and that's the way it's going to get done."
Ah, the blind optimism of youth.
Dr. Fernan was shaking her head.
"Anakin, Anakin, that's a lovely speech, truly. Very nearly reassuring. But what exactly does it mean? How do you propose to stop Dird without jeopardizing me and my family, or the innocent Lanteebans trapped on their own world, for that matter?"
"I don't know yet," said Anakin, "but we'll think of something. We always do." She smiled at him then, so sweetly that her sallow, scarred face was transformed. Anakin smiled back, oddly shy all of a sudden. Obi-Wan stared at him, alarmed.
"No, no, he's as bad as Qui-Gon, picking up strays."
"Dr. Fernan," he said, roughly breaking the moment, "I must be honest with you. I can't promise to keep you and your loved ones safe. All I can promise is that we'll try." Slowly, she looked away from Anakin and nodded. I suppose I can't ask for more than that.
We could use your help, said Anakin. I know you're afraid of making Dird suspicious, but we've got a better chance of winning if you're on the team.
And, like you say, you know the Barv, and that means you know how to play him.
The fresh shirt and trousers she'd donned were as baggy on her as those she'd discarded. Hunched inside them, chin tucked to her chest as the implications of Anakin's request sank their teeth into her flesh, Dr. Fernan looked fragile, every day of her age. She looked up.
I know you think I'm a coward, she muttered. You're sweet and polite, but you have to despise me.
There were tears in her eyes.
Which is fine. I despise myself. What I've done here, it's abominable. I know that. It's a betrayal of every ethical code of conduct, and if I could undo it, I would. But there is no going back, is there? I've done what I've done, and I have to face it.
Fierce now, Anakin went to her and cupped her angular cheeks in his hands.
No, you can't go back. But you can go forward. There's always a way forward, no matter what you've done. And what about forgiveness?
Her voice was a bitter whisper. He nodded. Yes, Bantina. There's forgiveness, too.
You promise?
She said, the brimming tears fallen.
Because I can't seem to find it.
He moved his hands to her shoulders and held her firmly.
Don't worry. I'll help you.
Obi-Wan had to look away, for if Bantina Fernan had a vast capacity to love...
He humbles me sometimes. He makes me feel small. He can't see a broken thing without wanting to fix it.
Dr. Fernan, he said, because they really couldn't afford any more time. Can you give us a copy of the bioweapons formula, and all the research and data you've accumulated during the process of its creation? Stepping aside from Anakin, she nodded.
Yes, of course, but...
You'll attract no undue attention if a patrolling droid should find you in your lab so late?
No, the droids are used to me working odd hours.
Excellent. Then could you do it now?
Yes. But after that,
she glanced at Anakin,
you should go. The longer you stay here, the greater the chance you'll be discovered.
And that was true.
There's a lot of information to copy, she added. It'll take a little time. You should eat again. Keep up your strength. Sounds to me like you're going to need it.
As the room's shabby door closed behind her, Anakin turned on him.
Obi-Wan, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to abandon Bantina to that Sith-spit Dird.
And I'm not going to have this argument again, he retorted. Now be quiet and... Anakin shook his head.
No. When are you going to accept it, Obi-Wan? I'm not your meek little Padawan anymore. Don't get me wrong. I'll always listen to you, but that doesn't mean I'll always agree.
Meek? He snapped, incredulous. You've not been meek a single day in your life.
Then what makes you think I'll change my tune now?
I don't know, he turned away. Someone must have hit me over the head when I wasn't looking.
Obi-Wan,
with another of his mercurial mood shifts, Anakin sighed.
Bantina's right. We should eat some more while we can. Drink, too.
He crossed to the conservator and started rummaging inside. Any thoughts on where we should hole up? Stifling frustration, Obi-Wan returned to the sofa.
Nowhere in this compound, I know that much. I made the security system tampering look like a power surge, but I'd still rather not be here when it's discovered.
One by one, Anakin tossed him a meal pack, a bottle of water, and his used spoon.
You want to go back to the ship?
I don't think we can, he said, activating the pack's heat seal. Not until we're ready to make a fast getaway. We destroyed our identichips, remember? We might be able to talk our way out of that once, but not twice.
Good point, said Anakin, and dropped onto the chair at the table.
Okay, we need somewhere quiet where nobody's going to stumble across us by accident. We need some kind of comm station so we can use those links you took to contact the temple. And we need access to a data reader, obviously, so we can sift through Bantina's research.
That made Obi-Wan stare.
Oh, yes?
Why not throw in a troop of trained dancing tauntauns while we're at it? Anakin peeled off the lid of his meal pack. What's a tauntaun?
Never mind, he muttered, and looked to his own heated meal.
I think our best bet is going to be those abandoned shops near the spaceport, said Anakin with his mouth full. Yeah, among them they're bound to have what we need. If we're careful, we can hole up in one for as long as it takes, and the Seps won't be any the wiser. He was grinning, temper abandoned, elated because they had a plan, a solution, a way out of the dark.
Obi-Wan swallowed a sigh.
His former apprentice was so swift to anger, swifter still to joy. So many years he'd spent trying to teach Anakin to keep himself balanced, all to no avail. Perhaps the most I can ever hope for is that once his emotional pendulum stops swinging, it will come to rest forever in the light. Hey, Obi-Wan.
What?
Now Anakin was frowning, wheels and wheels of thought turning behind his eyes. There's no way we can lift Dird out of here tonight, is there? Snatch him, the bioweapon, the research, the formula, Bantina, all of it, and get back to Coruscant before anyone's the wiser? Oh, it was a glorious thought, and for one brief, burning moment, he let himself think it. Then sanity prevailed. No. No, sighed Anakin. I didn't think so. Lapsing into silence, they finished their meals. They drank a second bottle of water each, took advantage of the refresher, then sat again to wait. Dr. Fernan returned at last, bearing 4 data crystals.
Here you are, Master Kenobi, she said, handing them over. That's everything.
Thank you, he said, tucking them into the shielded pocket holding his lightsaber and pilfered comlink. But there is some more information I'd like. He nodded at the mini holoprojector. Can you make me a copy of those holo images and a list of everywhere your family and friends might be found? As the doctor stared at him, silent, he felt Anakin's surprise and his great leap of hope. Don't get too excited, my young friend. It's a long shot at best.
Yes, Dr. Fernan whispered. Yes, I can do that.
Then hurry. Anakin and I have to go. As she rushed to burn the new data crystal, he added, One last thing. We're aware 2 genetically coded antidotes to Damatite poisoning were created by the Kaminoans, but they're specific to individuals. What I need to know is if you've created an antidote or a vaccine that would work on a general population. Ejecting the loaded data crystal from the holoprojector, she winced.
I wish you wouldn't call it mine.
And no, Dird made me design a cure-proof bioweapon. Of course he did. So you're saying that there's not even a hope of creating a generically applicable antidote or vaccine?
There might be, she said slowly. I know of 4 scientists capable of breaking my biocoding and extrapolating them from that research and formula I just gave you. Their names are appended.
She was a remarkably resourceful woman.
Thank you, Master Kenobi.
Surprised, he looked down at her hand on his arm. Doctor? Pale, her dark eyes filled with a quiet, desperate misery, she blinked back more tears.
I've been thinking, if I could trust my family and friends were safe from Dird, I would kill myself. I'd sabotage everything I've done, kill myself, and do my best to take Dird with me.
Hey, said Anakin, startled. Don't you even think about it. We're getting you out of this, Bantina. You and everyone else, the only person not walking away from this is Dird. She managed a tight smile.
I know that's the plan, and don't get me wrong, it's a good plan. I like it a lot. But Anakin, sometimes things don't turn out the way we want them to. So with that in mind,
she handed him the 5th data crystal.
If you can get my family and friends to safety, and if you can't come back for me or stop Dird any other way, find a way to let me know that, and I'll do what I have to, no regrets. Agreed?
No, it's not agreed, Anakin retorted. Bantina,
what? You can give your life for the Republic, but I can't give mine? How very backward of you, Anakin.
That's not what I meant.
She patted his arm. I know what you meant. and I don't want to die. But if I have to do this, Anakin, you have to let me.
You won't have to do it, said Anakin, holding the data crystal tight. We'll save your loved ones and you, Bantina. My word as a Jedi. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? The fear and dread in her face eased just a little.
You're a very sweet young man, Anakin Skywalker.
With an effort, Obi-Wan kept his face blank.
He's a very sweet young man who should know better than to make promises he knows full well we might not keep.
He pulled out his stolen comlink. Dr. Fannin, can you carry this safely? And if we contact you, will you be able to answer? She looked at the link as though it might bite.
Yes, they only search me traveling to and from the compound, and I'm not due to go anywhere for the foreseeable future. If I leave it on silent call, I'll know you want me, and as soon as I can, I'll answer you. Will that do?
Perfect, he said with an encouraging smile. I've no idea when or how often we'll try to contact you. Just sit tight and keep it with you. She nodded.
I will. Do you need to write down the link's frequency?
No, I've memorized it, but I do need that contact list.
Of course.
She found a blank flimsy and an electro pen and scribbled for a few minutes.
There, she said, handing it over. Every address and link contact I can think of.
He took the list and tucked it safely inside his shirt.
Dr. Fannin. Bantina.
Bantina. He clasped her shoulder briefly. You must understand that I can make you no promises. I will not put the lives of your family and friends above the safety of every living thing in the Republic, but I will do my utmost to protect them, and you. She nodded.
I know you will. I know there are no guarantees. Now go, but take some water with you, some meal packs too. Jedi or not, you need sustenance.
Don't worry, said Anakin. We're pretty good at finding what we need. We found you, didn't we? And that made her smile.
Yes. Yes, you did. Please, please, both of you, be careful.
There's a strict curfew after dark, and...
We know, said Anakin. Don't worry, we'll be fine.
Remember, Obi-Wan added, it might take a while before we've any reason to calm you. Don't be concerned. You will hear from us again. Always demonstrative, Anakin gave her a swift hug.
Be strong, Bantina. You're not alone.
They left her small apartment, her prison cell, via the venting ducts, just to be safe. Crawling through the cramped metal corridors, every ache and pain awakening with a roar, Obi-Wan found it hard to forget the look on Bantina's face as they left her behind. But since they'd had no choice in the matter, he closed his heart and his mind and focused on getting out of the building alive. If they hadn't needed to keep everything so clandestine, Anakin would have indulged in 40 fast backflips to celebrate getting out of those stifling vents in one piece. He and Obi-Wan crouched in the bushes growing along the building's side wall. Everything was quiet, peaceful. The night sky was patched with low clouds, the ground freshly damp. It had been raining again. There was a nip in the air. He was going to start shivering any moment. He hated a cold, damp climate. Give him the desert any day over chilly rain. And that was something he never thought he'd think. It was too dark to see anything, but he glanced at Obi-Wan anyway. Something wasn't quite right there. Obi-Wan seemed oddly subdued. And why was that? Because they'd argued? That wasn't new. They'd been bumping heads one way or another since the day they met. So what had changed? Maybe the fact that now I don't back down? Get used to it, Obi-Wan. I'll say it as many times as you need to hear it, until you believe it. Not your Padawan anymore.
So how do you want to get out of here? He whispered. Wait for a while and see if we can hitch another ride?
That's a little too random for my tastes, Obi-Wan replied. There's no guarantee of any more delivery trucks coming in tonight, and we can't risk waiting until morning. We have to get back to those boarded-up shops before sunrise. How energetic are you feeling?
I'm good.
Why? You're thinking of going up and over?
I don't see we've got another choice, do you? He wished he did. If it was a simple matter of force-leaping the perimeter fence, no problem. But it wasn't just the fence they had to deal with. It was the laser grid in front of the fence, and more than likely, on its other side as well. You'll be fine, Anakin, said Obi-Wan. I doubt anyone will ever break your temple leap record. The one he'd set just over a year ago, the one that had smashed Mace Windu's leap by nearly 15 meters. No, probably no one ever would break that. But it wasn't himself he was worried about. How do I say this? I mean, there's cocky and then there's downright insulting. There was a soft, slithering sound in the dark beside him, and then Obi-Wan was pushing something at him. Take these. If I can't follow you, if anything at all happens to me, you know what to do. What? No, he said softly, as Obi-Wan fumbled Bantina's data crystals and folded Flimsy into his hands. Obi-Wan, forget it. Nothing is going, Obi-Wan hissed, impatient. It might, Anakin. Please. His former master was right. He was usually right. Obi-Wan, this time you'd better be wrong. He took the crystals and the Flimsy and shoved them into his shirt's concealed pocket with the other crystal, his lightsaber, and their remaining comlink. And then, his head lifted. Someone, something, was coming. Battle droids. They folded themselves in half, arms wrapped around their shins, faces hidden against their knees, doing their best to stop breathing. Unlike the spy cam droid, these clankers weren't equipped with heat sensors. But even so, accidents happened. And for all we know, they've been treated to an upgrade, just like the vulture droids we scrapped above Kothless. He could feel Obi-Wan vanishing beside him. He let himself sink into the Force a little way, but not too far. He wanted to be ready if something went wrong. I hate clandestine. I hate it. I hate it. The battle droids were stupid clankers. Sneeze on them and they fell apart. The droids weren't going to find them. They were safe. They were safe.
Patrol reporting in. All clear. Roger, roger.
The battle droids clanked away. Slowly, cautiously, they swam back to the world's surface and unfolded themselves. Right, said Obi-Wan. Let's get this. Anakin bumped his hand against him. Wait, just wait. Embarrassed, he took a deep breath. Look, don't take this the wrong way. It's the mission, right? That's what matters. So, Anakin. Obi-Wan's whisper sounded amused. It's fine. I was about to suggest it myself when the droids turned up. You were? Play to your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. That's how a battle is won. That's how we'll win the war. Anakin had to smile. I should have known he wouldn't take it personally. Yeah, so once I'm up and over and nobody raises the alarm, give me a 5 count, then follow. I'll give you the best force boost I can. Not that you'll need much. Your leap was only 1.5 meters behind Master Windu's, remember? Obi-Wan gave a breathy chuckle. I remember. I had nosebleeds for 1 week afterward. Don't ever feel bad for being extraordinary, Anakin. Now, off you go. We don't have all night. Nobody in his life could rile him like Obi-Wan, and nobody could make him feel so lucky to be called friend. With a deep breath, he centered himself in the Force. Opening his mind to its limitless power, he surrendered his will to its overwhelming might, then looked toward the perimeter fence. He could feel the buzzing, lethal laser lines, the height of the barrier, and its formidable width. He rose lightly to his feet, adrift in that place without thought, without words, where he was one with the Force, where he could no longer tell where he ended and it began. He leapt the laser-guarded security fence like he was jumping over a stream or over one of the stone paths in the temple's arboretum. The night continued, silent and undisturbed. Standing in the empty road outside the compound, he felt Obi-Wan's admiring approval, felt spattered rain against his face, felt a stirring in the Force as Obi-Wan sprinted toward the barrier. He could see his former master, a bright gold shape against his crimson inner world. As Obi-Wan leapt,
Anakin reached out and swaddled the force around him gently, not interfering, not getting in the way, just enough of a push to ensure his safety. How could he be extraordinary and let Obi-Wan come to harm? "Thank you," said Obi-Wan, landing safely and joining him. Anakin grinned. "You're welcome. So, what now?" "Now?" Despite the obstacles they yet faced, Obi-Wan's answering grin was wickedly cheerful. "Now, I rather think I'd like to run away. How about you?" "That sounds good," he said. "Running away sounds good." So, they ran. Blurred by the Force, they made it back to the abandoned shops near the brightly lit spaceport without discovery or incident. That was the good news. The bad news was that such a prolonged use of force sprinting left them both dangerously tired. Panting, letting himself fall against a barricaded back door, Anakin mopped sweat from his face with one sleeve. So maybe not extraordinary after all. My legs feel like they've turned to creamed roa rice. Obi-Wan, just as winded, braced his hands on his knees and bent over, gasping for air. They were safe for the moment, no droid patrols or mobile spy cams in sight. Thank the Force for small mercies. "Well, that's all right. You like creamed roa rice." He laughed. "Not anymore, I don't." A gust of wind moaned down the street on the other side of the abandoned shops. Dull, brownish lighting barely lifted the night out of gloom. There was dampness in the air, and above, more clouds were gathering like a frown. Any moment now, it was going to rain. Again. With a groan, Obi-Wan unbent his spine. "Come on," he said, and slapped Anakin's arm. "We need to get inside before we're soaked, or discovered. Whether it's a blaster bolt or raging pneumonia, dead is dead. You start this end, I'll start the other. Remember what we're after, high-end electronics." "Yes, Master," said Anakin. "Whatever you say, Master." Such a pity he was being sarcastic. Still lightheaded, Obi-Wan made his cautious way to the farthest boarded-up shop. The lighting was so poor it was impossible to read the partly obscured lettering above the barricaded front doors, so he pushed himself hard to read the premises through the Force. His body rebelled, resentful of the demands being placed upon it. Gritting his teeth, he ignored the vivid pain behind his eyes, in his bones, and sought for the faded echoes of this place. A crying child, a weary mother, a customer dissatisfied. With what? What had he bought here? What was it he brought back and tossed down on the counter, loudly shouting for the credits he'd spent or else? "Show me. Please show me. Please let me see." Tappa weed. The customer claimed it was moldy, that it gave him bad dreams. This had been a smokery supplier. Nothing of use in here. He moved to the next shop. As he tried to focus, tried to sink himself into the past, he was tensely aware of the present, of the nearby sprawling spaceport. Though he couldn't sense its battle droids or magna guards, he could feel the petty, quarrelsome peril of its humans, the occupying separatist troops. So hushed was the curfewed darkness that the spaceport's noise seemed unnaturally enhanced. There was a rumbling roar as a light carrier's thrusters ignited. The echoes bounced within the port's encompassing ferrocrete walls. Then the engines were cut. Somebody shouted. A loud altercation was followed by the sound of two blaster shots. Someone was not having a good night. "Focus, Master Kenobi. You're no better than a Padawan. Your mind's flittering all over the place." Suitably reprimanded, he rested his forehead against the next shop's front door and was immediately sorry. Images of terror and pain and panic exploded behind his closed eyes. He felt his blood leap, his heart pound. The screaming was awful. "Just go. Just go. This place isn't worth dying for. Take your lives and go. These are droids. They have no pity." But the Lantivans couldn't hear him. They had died here 12 days before. Died in their paint shop. They were rotting behind the door, trapped in their death throes. He struggled to pull free.
A hand touched his shoulder and he nearly cried out.
Obi-Wan, what is it?
Nothing, Anakin. It's nothing, he said and stepped away from the paint shop, sweating.
What have you found?
Anakin was grinning again.
An actual electronics shop. Come on, I've got the back door unboarded. There's power, but no alarm.
Well done, Obi-Wan said, his voice still sour, his heart still pounding. Let's get inside quickly before a droid patrol comes along. There were no dead, rotting bodies in this shop. It was small and crowded, floor to ceiling, with shelves and cupboards spilling circuits and crystal components and info hubs and comically outdated holoprojectors. The carpet was threadbare. Anakin lifted his ignited lightsaber a little higher, dispelling the immediate darkness with its pale, vivid light. I'm thinking if one of us works under the front counter and the other works under this desk here, we should be able to risk a lamp each, he said. The front of the shop's pretty solidly boarded up.
Yes, Obi-Wan said slowly. Yes, I suppose that'll do.
Anakin stared at him.
What? This place isn't good enough?
Well, you must admit, Anakin, he said.
Everything in here seems terribly antiquated.
What do you mean, seems? It is, Anakin shrugged. But you're overlooking something. I'm extraordinary, remember? Though he was tired and hurting, Obi-Wan smiled.
I'm going to regret that word, aren't I?
Probably, said Anakin, grinning again.
Right, let's get settled in. The faster we can get through to the temple and coordinate a battle plan, the faster we get Bantina away from Dird. Here.
He held out his glowing lightsaber.
Hold this for me.
Troubled, Obi-Wan watched him as he unplugged a small desk lamp.
Anakin...
What? Said Anakin, dropping to his knees to set the lamp up again on the floor under the front counter. He looked over his shoulder, and his expression changed. He plugged the lamp in and switched it on, then sat back on his heels. His face was wary now, and his fists rested combatively on his thighs.
Obi-Wan, what?
Obi-Wan wasn't going to let himself be sidetracked by the tone. Deactivating the lightsaber, he tossed it back.
Anakin, don't do this, he said as his former student caught the weapon and put it aside.
Don't... He took a moment to rein in his own temper.
Fixing broken things is all very well, but not when we're up to our armpits in a dangerous mission.
Qui-Gon used to do this. He used to roam around the galaxy picking up strays.
Like me, you mean? Said Anakin tightly. Useless hangers-on like me?
You were never useless. Anakin, please, you must listen, he insisted. On almost every mission he and I went on, we came across someone in trouble. Sometimes they'd brought it on themselves, sometimes they were like Dr. Fennin, victims of another being's machinations. But there was always someone, and he would try to help them.
So, said Anakin, what's wrong with that? He helped me, he saved me. And this is my way of paying him back for that. Every person I help or save is me saying thank you to Qui-Gon. Why do you have a problem with that?
I don't, Obi-Wan protested. And then, at Anakin's look, he grimaced.
Well, yes, all right, I do. But not because it isn't an admirable ambition. It is, Anakin. It's admirable, it's laudable. It shows you have a good heart. But,
he ran a hand over his beard, searching for the right words.
For one thing, we're Jedi, not social workers. It's not our job to collect the galaxy's waifs and strays.
Anakin's chin came up, defiant.
Then it should be. What is the point of having all this power if we don't use it to make people's lives better?
But we do make people's lives better. You know we do, he retorted.
Right now, the Jedi are dying to make people's lives better. I can't believe I need to remind you of that.
You don't, said Anakin, glowering.
And I'm not saying we should drop everything and devote all our time and resources to picking up strays. I'm not saying we should go looking for them either. What I'm saying is that if we happen to fall over one, we shouldn't just pick ourselves up and keep on walking.
Oh, Anakin, sighing, he dropped cross-legged to the dusty carpet.
I know it's hard. I know it seems cruel, but...
That's because it is cruel, Obi-Wan, Anakin snapped.
cruel and unfeeling and unworthy of the Jedi Order. He was so like Qui-Gon. This was like arguing with a ghost.
Don't waste your breath, Obi-Wan. I will do what I must. It rarely ends well, you know, he said, gently willing Anakin to hear him, to believe him. Entangling yourself in these transitory lives? And when it doesn't end well, when you can't save these people, when we can't save Dr. Fernan or her family or her unfortunate friends, you don't know we can't save them. You're giving up without even trying. No, Anakin, I am not giving up. I am merely facing facts. He hesitated because what he wanted to say next was dangerous. On the other hand, it needed to be said. Don't misunderstand me. Your compassion is admirable. You are a truly good man, one of the very best I know. But you are also a Jedi, and we cannot allow ourselves to become emotionally involved. A deep breath, a sharp sigh. Bantina Fernan is not your mother. Anakin leapt to his feet.
You leave my mother out of this, Anakin, he hissed. For pity's sake, keep your voice down.
Hard-breathing silence as Anakin struggled for self-control. And then he shook his head.